Good morning. Today's daf in Kedushin Samech Zayin. We're in Samech Vav Amud Beis. We're almost up to the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. We just have a little bit more to go. In fact, we're going to do that right now. Yesterday's daf dedicated to the topic of Eid Echad. Every daf is fantastic. Fantastic daf yesterday regarding the efficacy of one aid. Can any type of status change, any kind of credibility afforded and assigned to one aid? We know by Eid Echad, I didn't mention this yesterday, but it's the idea, it's just basic information. We know that one aid, so a claim, and a monetary claim, where when you have one aid now reporting that you actually owe the money, so we know that Eid Echad, when it comes to money, so you have to make a shvua. In other words, you can't ignore one aid, you have to make a shvua in order to counter the one aid. So we know one aid has efficacy in terms of mamnos. We also know eid echad ne'eman b'isurin, that when it comes to iser, you have a woman working in the kitchen, and she says everything's kosher. Everything's kosher. Why? Because she said so. Why? Eid echad ne'eman b'isur. So, but that the daf yesterday went well beyond those examples. The daf yesterday wanted to know that if you have one aid and it's corroborated with silence and no denial. So do we afford any status to the one aid? And that turned yesterday into a major machlokes between Abai and Rava, and that was basically all of yesterday's daf. In the course of yesterday's daf, so we started a brisa. Interesting brisa, having nothing to do with one aid, but it came in Agav Orche. But anyway, in the course of the brisa, what we discussed was you had a mikvah, and it was kosher, then it becomes pasul because of evaporation. And so I know that T1, it was kosher. I know T2 was pasul. And what about all the tefillah that was done between T1 and T2? And that was the machlokas tanayim between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. And Rabbi Akiva said, we're going to compare to a kohen. Not a kohen who is a ben grusha ben chalutza, but rather to a kohen who is a baal mum. That's the, and since the mikvah is more comparable to a baal mum, what do we know regarding a baal mum? Discovery of the baal mum would passel all the avoda that he did, not from here going forward, but also retroactively as well. Same thing is going to be true regarding the mikvah. Okay, Rabbi, that's one of Rabbi Akiva's points. Truth be told, as Rabbi Akiva made multiple points, but that was one of his points. And the Gemara, Rabbi Tarfon said to Rabbi Akiva, "Yeah, you did a good job." In fact, I have no response. You're right. Okay. One of the things that Rabbi Akiva said in yesterday's daf is that when it comes to Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we discover that he was a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza after he did Avoda. So from this point going forward, he can't do the Avoda anymore. What about retroactively? The Avoda that he did was okay. Acceptable. Bidiyevid. Now that we're here. And the Gemara simply stated that as we all know that. And now what the Gemara is going to do, and this is just the tail end of yesterday's daf, it's going to backtrack on that point, and the Gemara just simply says, "Oh, by the way, how do we know that? Right? You have a Kohen who is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, meaning he's a Chalal. The Kohen's a Chalal, devoid of Kedushas Kohuna. But meanwhile, Bidiyevid, if we only discover now any of the Avodah that he did retroactively, is going to be okay. How do I know that? That's the Gemara's question, and the Gemara is going to give us sources. So Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, we are in Samech Vav Amud Beis. We are towards the Mishnah. About a dozen lines before the Mishnah. So Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Avodasak Sherem Minal Anam Rav Yudam Rashmol Amakra. So Vahaisalo Lazarach Harav Bein Zerakasher Bein Zerapasel. So the pasuk in this is Korach. So the Korach or Pinchas? No, it might be Pinchas. Anyway, So to him and his children that come after, and that's Zera Kasher, Zera Pasul. In other words, it doesn't matter what the Zera is. As long as you are of the line of Kohanim, so then it's going to work. Another possible suggestion, says the Gemara, this is at the tail end of the Torah. Barech Hashem Chelo Fol Yadav Tirtzeh. Right? This is in Vezosa Bracha. And Afilu Chulun Shabot Tirtzeh. So Ufol Yadav Tirtzeh, let's back up for just a moment. Barech Hashem Chelo, even if we're talking about chulin over here meaning chalalim, even though the kohen is devoid of kedushas kahuna, tirtza, still ufol yadav tirtza, that which he does with his hands is going to be acceptable. Again, this is bidiyevin. Rabbi Yana Amar mehachovat al kohen asher yeh b'yamim ma'im v'chita la'adat chashadam holech etz kohen shelo ayah b'yamav elazeh kashav nischalal. Okay, and you're going to go to the kohen in your day. Now, what does that mean, the Kohen of your day? You can't go to any other Kohen, meaning what other Kohanim are we looking at? So rather, the Pasuk goes on to say, so I'm sorry, the Drasha is that what we're describing is the he's kasher and he's halal. So he was a kasher, and then he becomes a halal. So uba mum davarus apsula minalan. And now we just gave three drushas of how it is that we know that a halal who does the avoda bidi eved is acceptable. Now we're on the other point, which is the balmum. So avoda apsula minalan. How do I know this avoda's puzzle? I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmal Amakra Alachinam Orhininos in Lo is Brisi Shalom. So Kishu Shalom Lo Kishu Chaser. So I'm going to give me Brisi Shalom. This is in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. And now Shalom means Shalom. He has to be complete. In other words, he has to be a Kohen who has no physical blemish. Vahash Shalom Ksiv. The Gemara says, yeah, but as drushas go, that's not what the Pasuk says. So I'm Rav Nachman Vav De Shalom Ketiahi. So Rav Nachman says that the Vav of Shalom is Ketiah. Take a look at the Chumash, take a look at the Torah, you'll see the Vav over there. So it's a cutoff Vav. So where that's part of the Masorah, encrypted in the Masorah, is this idea that obviously you read it Shalom, but you could also interpret it to mean Shalem, which means that the Kohen has to be not a Bama. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's Daf. All right, and now we begin. We are in Tamach Vav Amud Beis, we are at the Mishnah on the very bottom of the Amud, and Yichus. Okay, so we are now going to embark, even though we haven't switched Prakim. We are in the third Perek of Kedushin, and we still are. We'll be here for a little bit longer, a little bit. But nevertheless, in terms of topics, we move topics now to a very fundamental topic in marriage, and that is that how does Yichus work? Okay, you're a Kohen, you marry a Yisrael, so your child is a... Now, we all know the answer to that question. That one's an easy one. Okay, so and when I say you, I'm meaning the father. The father's a Kohen, the mother's a Yisrael, Bas Yisrael. So the child's a Kohen. Good. So that kind of Yichus is easy. Stay tuned over the course of today's daf because we're going to do all the basics, but we're going to do ones that are not so basic. Okay, and we're really going to be covering all the rules and regulations, what governs Yichus. This discussion is going to take us well into the fourth parak of the Masechta. So everyone settle in as we now embark on really, I don't mean this literally, but the last chapter here of Seder Nashim. Kol makom sheyesh kiddushim ve'ein avera, v'lad holech achar zachar. So we're going to have two big rules in today's daf, really in this Mishnah. The truth of the matter is that maybe we could call three big rules, but you'll see in terms of how to structure the Mishnah and how to organize the Mishnah. So let's take a look at two big rules. Rule number one, and that is that if there's Kedushin, which means that Tfisas Kedushin, this is a term that we're going to be using again and again today, over next couple days, next number of days. Tfisas Kedushin means the following. You're Mekadesher, and the Kedushin sticks. It takes. You see, as we're going to see and express ourselves many times over in today's daf, so just because the Kedushin sticks doesn't mean that the marriage is an acceptable marriage. Meaning, let's a simple example. We're going to give so many examples today. I'm just simply speaking this out right now. So let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. A Kohen should not be marrying a Grusha, but a Kohen marries a Grusha. So is there a Tfisas Kedushin? The answer is yes, even though the Torah does not sanction the marriage. So the Mishnah over here now, in terms of organizing and compartmentalizing all these different categories. So in category number one, so there is Tfisas Kedushin and Ein Avera. So what we're looking at over here is a marriage that takes, and it's an acceptable marriage. So then, Avlad Holech Achar Zachar. So here's rule number one, and that is that under those circumstances, what's the child going to be? Whatever dad is. Examples. Eza Zu. So give me examples of that. Zu Kohen Levi Avi Yisrael. Shenasul Kohen Levi Yisrael. So simple example now is that you take any one of either Kohen Levi Yisrael marrying a woman who is Kohenes Levi Avi Yisraelis. And you can do any mix and match, any permutation of this, and the child is going to be whatever dad is. So dad's a Yisrael, he marries a Bas Levia, child's a Yisrael. Dad's a Yisrael, he marries a Bas Kohen, child's a Yisrael. V'chule v'chule, etc., etc. Okay, so that's rule number one. Here we go. Rule number two of the Mishnah. Chol mi sheyesh kedushin v'yesh avera. So let's say there's Tfisas Kedushin, but not a sanctioned marriage. The Torah did not want you marrying that individual. The Torah told you not to marry that individual. Yet there's Tfisas Kedushin. So Avlad Olech Achar HaPagum. So then what's the child going to be? The child's going to be the Pagum. meaning whatever is of the inferior yichus of either mom or dad, that's what the child's going to be. So Eizuzu, so let's give examples of that. So Zuaman al Kohen Gadol, Grusha v'chalusa l'Kohen Hedjo, Mamzeres Nisina l'Yisrael, Bas Yisrael l'Mamzer u'l'Nisin. So the Mishnah gives an assortment of examples. So first of all, we have all of our Kohen examples. Kohanim are restricted in terms of who they can marry. Kohen Gadol can't marry an Amana. A Kohen Hedjo cannot marry a Grusha. And if, in fact, they marry, the Torah said not to. There is the eight Tfisas Kedushin. And so, therefore, what the child now is going to be is the child is going to be the Pogum. Now, in the case of Grusha and Kohen, right, just as an example, simple example. So, does either one of them have Pogum Yichus? Not exactly, right? In other words, dad's a Kohen. Mom, a divorcee. In other words, the Yichus is fine. But the Torah does not sanction that marriage. The child now is going to be a Kohen, but Chalav. In other words, devoid of his kuna. So the truth of the matter is that particular example is a little bit challenging to really fit into the words of the Mishnah. Categorically, of course, it's a perfect fit. In other words, there is Tfisus Kedushin and the Torah didn't sanction the marriage. Okay. So it fits categorically, but just the wording of the Mishnah that the child is going to be following the Pogum, that part gets a little bit tricky. Now, the other examples in the Mishnah working beautifully. Meaning, let's say you have a mamzer who marries a Yisraelis. Okay? Is it Tfisus Kedushin? Absolutely. Is it a sanctioned marriage? Absolutely not. Torah says not to marry a mamzer. So now the child is going to be a mamzer. And it doesn't matter whether dad was a mamzer, marrying a shera, or mom is a mamzeres, marrying a kosher. In either way, the child is going to be a mamzer. Okay.
Mamzer to a ger is a sanctioned marriage.
We're getting there. Okay. We're getting
then
there.
Then again, a
mamzer
to a
ger
is what?
He's asking about mamzer to a ger. Is that an acceptable marriage?
Yeah.
We'll get there. I looked ahead. I skimmed ahead. I know it's coming. Okay. Now, if you are David, already figured it out, and that the examples in the Mishnah are exhaustive? No, they're not. No. In other words, we have two categories in the Mishnah, and we know that marriages are going to fall under one of these two categories. Now, in a moment, the big reveal, there really is a third category, which is coming up in just a moment. But anytime we're looking at a sanctioned marriage, sorry, I didn't mean that. Anytime we're looking at where the marriage takes Tfisus Kedushin, so basically now our first question that we have to ask is it a sanctioned marriage or is it a non-sanctioned marriage? If it's a sanctioned marriage, category number one. If it's a non-sanctioned marriage, category number two, good. And the Mishnah then gave examples for category one and category two. You'll notice, David already did, that the Mishnah's list is not exhaustive. We don't have all the examples in the Mishnah. And so, over the course of today's daf, what are we going to do? We're going to try to fill in the blanks. There are no blanks in the Mishnah, but in other words, there are many cases not mentioned in the Mishnah. And what we're going to be doing in the course of today's daf is going over all the examples and where does it belong, where does it fit in the Mishnah, coming up. Now, here we go to, let's call it category number three of the Mishnah. Chol mi she'ein la lo, I'm sorry. V'chol mi she'ein la lo alav. V'lo lachem kedushin. So avla kamosum. V'ezuzizu v'lad shivcha. V'nachris. So the Mishnah goes on to now describe, what if there is no kedushin, period? I skipped one, didn't I? Of course I didn't. Yeah. The big one. Okay, and that is, what if there's no Tfisus Kedushin? So if there's no Tfisus Kedushin, the product of that union is a mamzer. Okay. And now, it happens to be that today's daf is not going to be focusing on it. Obviously, that's a critical point of the Mishnah. And as we're going to be learning, not in today's daf, but upcoming dapim, that is subject to a machlokus, which marriages are Tofes Kedushin, which marriages are not. So stay tuned. We're going to be discussing this in much greater detail, meaning how to produce a mamzer, how to create a mamzer, is, according to our Mishnah, is when there's no Tfisus Kedushin. At the end of today's daf, we're going to touch on this topic, but really this topic is going to be explored in much greater detail over the upcoming days. V'chol mi she'ein lo, now I get to read this. V'chol mi she'ein la lo alav lo alachem kedushin, havla kamosav ezev la shivcha. V'nachris. So let's say there's no Tfisus Kedushin, period. right? In other words, a non-Jew, non-Jewish woman. So who can marry her? Nobody. Nobody. In other words, there's simply no institution of marriage between Jew and non-Jew. Okay? And as a result of that, so what's the Vlad? The Vlad's Kamosa. So the child's going to be whatever she is. So mom's a non-Jew, the child's a non-Jew. Okay. And the same thing is going to be true regarding that of a Shifcha as well. Shifcha Kananis. So the child is going to be a Shifcha Kananis. There is no institution of marriage between a Shifcha Kananis and a Jew. Okay. Now, mind you, by the way, we already learned earlier in our Masechta, the Eved Ivri can marry Shifcha Kananis, but that is it doesn't violate the rule whatsoever. In fact, it only supports the rule that we just learned, because what is of the children between the Eved Ivri and the Shifcha Kananis? The children are Avadim. Okay.
If a Jewish woman marries a non-Jew, even though the children are Jewish, are they Mamzerim?
No. There is an opinion in the Gemara that the child is a Mamzer, but that's not the accepted viewpoint. So the Gemara says, okay, so here we are now embarking on the following. Now, I admit I'm going to be going through this quickly. I know it. In other words, it's a daf. It's just simply, it's built into the system. I'm going to be throwing out a lot of different relationships, marriages, products of that marriage. And what we're going to also do, in other words, the expectation is that you're supposed to know, like lightning quick, you know, sanctioned marriage, non-sanctioned marriage, or alternatively, it's a machlokas. Okay, I'm going to speak everything out, obviously, but at the same time, I'm recognizing that I'm going to go through a lot of information in a little bit of time, but everything's recorded, so you get to hear it again. So let's start. So we are now in category number one of our Mishnah, where it is both Tfisas Kedushin and it's a sanctioned marriage. And what? And the child is going to be dad. Meaning whatever the yichus of dad is, that's what the child is going to be. So the Gemara says, what about a ger marrying a mamzeris? Now, is a ger allowed to marry a mamzeris? The answer is it's a machlokas. We're going to see the machlokas momentarily. So, but ger marrying a mamzeris. So what is the child going to be? So first of all, let's say that there is tefisas kedushin. That's unequivocal. Everyone agrees to that. Now, I say everyone agrees to that. And in the back of my mind, I know there is a shita Rabbi Akiva. But, so, sorry. I myself am also slaloming between, you know, all the positions that I have to also balance. But let's just say, for today's daf, let's just say everyone agrees that a ger is allowed to marry a mom. I'm sorry, there is tefisas kedushin. Is that a marriage which is allowable? Did the Torah allow such a marriage? So, diyesh kedushin vein avera vlad olech achar pagom. Well, the Gemara says, well, let's assume right now that it is a sanctioned marriage, and what's the child going to be? The child's going to be a mamzer. In other words, ger mamzeris, the child's going to be a mamzer. So now, I don't understand, it doesn't fit into the rules of our Mishnah. Now, D'tanya, first let's introduce ourselves to the machlokas. We learned in a braisa. Ger shenasa mamzeris avla mamzer divrei Rabbi Yossi. So a ger marrying a mamzeris, the child is going to be a mamzer, according to the shita of Rabbi Yossi. And so therefore, how come it's conspicuously absent from the Mishnah? So Amar le misvaras masis and Rabbi Yossi, he masis and Rabbi Yehudi, damer ger lo yisa mamzeris. So v'yesh kedusha, v'yesh avera, havlad olech achra pagum. So the Gemara says, okay, I know you shared with me the shita Rabbi Yossi. I'm going to counter with the shita Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that a ger marrying a mamzeris is not allowed by the Torah. It's not sanctioned by the Torah. And therefore, it doesn't belong in category number one. It belongs in category number two. Oh, and now it works out perfectly. Because what do we learn in category number two? If there's tefisas kedushin, but it's not a sanctioned marriage, so what's the child? The child is going to be whatever the inferior yichus is, which in this case is going to be the mamzer. So it belongs in category number two, not in category number one. So v'nisnaya. So the Gemara says, okay, that's curious. Meaning, okay, it belongs in category number two. We just went through the Mishnah together. We didn't see it in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Tanu kol makom d'seifa lasuye. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you carefully read the Mishnah, you'll notice that both category number one and category number two of the Mishnah open up with the words kol makom. What does kol makom tell me? That anywhere, meaning that's a ribui. The Mishnah over here is just citing examples, but it's not an exhaustive list. Our Mishnah over here is incorporating other examples as well, alluded to with the words kol makom. The Gemara says, or alternatively, we could do the following. Really, the truth of the matter is that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi. Now, remember, according to Rabbi Yossi, a ger mamzeris, sanctioned marriage. Where does it belong? Category number one. But it's not there. And not only is it not there, it doesn't belong in category number one. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, what is the child going to be? A mamzeris. Wait 1 second. Or mamzer, depending on whether the child is a boy or a girl. But wait 1 second. In other words, in category number one, we said that if there's tefisas kedushin and it's a sanctioned marriage, so then what's the child? Child's going to be whatever dad is. Well, that's not true by the ger mamzeris. So the Gemara says, Tana ezezu lemeute. So the Gemara says, again, what you have to do is you have to go back to the Mishnah. And once again, instructions are, read the Mishnah carefully. Look back at the Mishnah. The Mishnah, and when I'm just going back to category number one of the Mishnah. Kol makom sheyesh kedushin, ve'ena ver avlad olech achar zachar, ve'ezezu. So you see what just happened in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah opens up with the words kol makom. That's an expansive terminology. But then the Mishnah says, ezezu. What are these examples? Oh, that's limitative. That's restrictive. So we have in our Mishnah both expansion and restriction. And as we're unpackaging all this, basically what we're going to see together is that both in category number one and in category number two, so we have other cases that belong and we have cases that don't belong, both in category one and in category two. And so now we're just unwinding. We're just spooling out all this information now. So what we're suggesting is that really the truth of the matter is that our Mishnah is following Rav Yossi. Yeah, but Rav Yossi says that a ger marrying a mamzeris, tefisas kedushin, sanctioned marriage. Oh, but wait 1 second, the child is pagum. The child is not the father. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's encrypted in the Mishnah in the words ezezu, which is the restrictive phrase for category number one. Okay. Okay, good. So, ezezu v'sulo, v'harei chalal shanasa bas yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay, so yesh kedushin, ein avera. So ezezu, so what are the examples? So the Gemara says, what are the examples? You know what was left out of the Mishnah? So chalal shanasa bas yisrael. So you have a chalal. Okay, so what is a chalal? A chalal is any product of a union between Kohen and a woman he's not allowed to marry. Okay, so simple example. A Kohen marries a Grusha. Torah told the Kohen not to marry the Grusha. Kohen did. They produce children. Those children are Chalalim. Chalalim just simply means they're devoid of Kedushas Kohuna. The word Chalal itself means hollow. In other words, he's just a shell of a Kohen. Right? Physically a Kohen, but spiritually not a Kohen. Okay, fine. That's a Chalal. So now, a Chalal. A Chalal Shanasa Bais Yisrael. So, is the chalal allowed to marry Bas Yisrael? The answer is yes. Yes. And the Mishnah, the allowance for the chalal to marry a Bas Yisrael is unequivocal. For sure, there's tefisas kedushin, but it's a perfectly sanctioned marriage. Now, so chalal shenasa Bas Yisrael, yesh kedushin, ein avera, and now havlat holech achar zachar. So the Gemara says, and now that child. So interesting now. Is that child going to be a chalal, yes or no? Now, don't be quick to answer, because that's correct, it's a machlokas. This too is also going to be a machlokas in terms of what the child is going to be. Right now, we're assuming that the child is going to follow the father. The father's a chalal, the child is going to be a chalal as well. So, if that's true, if that information is correct information, what's the problem? The problem is that example wasn't cited in the Mishnah. In other words, it belongs in category number one. It's a perfect fit in category number one, and that case is not actually registered in category number one. It's not in there. So the halokasha k'Rabbi Dusai ben Rabbi Yehuda Svirlei. So the Gemara says, well, it could very well be that our Mishnah is subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Dusai ben Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Dusai ben Rabbi Yehuda, we alluded to earlier in the Masechta just a couple days ago, and we're going to learn him in more detail later on. According to Rabbi Dusai ben Yehuda, so what when a chalal marries a bas Yisrael, she basically serves as a mikvah, right? She is metahir, right? The children are going to be non-chalalim. Now, they're not going to be kohanim, obviously, but they're not going to be chalalim. In other words, they will not have any pagam on them whatsoever. And so therefore, if in fact our Mishnah is following the shita of Rabbi Dusai, so then you understand why this is not cited in it, put in example number one.
That's not
Chal and Yisrael the same status? There's no practical difference to it.
No, but the halal status, if it perpetuates, I see what you're saying. In other words, ultimately, when all said and done, no. In other words, it makes a big difference because now, well, as far as the halal is concerned, you're right. But let's say that a girl, she now is a halala. So if she's a halal, she can't marry a kohen. If she's just a regular bas yisrael, right? If she's a regular bas yisrael, she can't marry a kohen. All right, big difference.
So the halal is
definitely,
when it gets an aliyah, what does it get?
Not Cohen. Right now, the least of the concerns in this discussion, but yes.
Would you say that a halal has a status of like a grisha?
What?
A normal Jew can marry a grisha, where a Cohen can.
Okay, a little bit overthinking it. In other words, a halal is a halal.
A halal is a halal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It goes on for generations.
Right. In other words, if I didn't hold like Rav Dustai, so then the halal status is just going to continue in perpetuity. Correct.
How do you keep track of that? That's
all these are hard to keep track of. In fact, the Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak is going to point out that there came a point in time where certain communities lost track. Right. These are hard things to keep track. Right. Yichus is complicated, as we're seeing right now. And not only that, but your point is excellent. The Gemara in the beginning of the fourth parak is going to try to wrap its head around that question. So the Gemara says, okay, so now let's have a Yisrael marrying a Chalala where there is Kedushin and there is no Avera, and the Vlad Holech Achar Zachar. So now, basically what bothers the Gemara now is that if I have Yisrael marrying a Chalala, where Kedushin's fine, perfectly sanctioned marriage, and now our Mishnah told us that the child's going to be the father. So and the Mishnah had the words Ezezu, what is it coming to limit? So Tana Kol Makom Dereisha Lasuye. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Kol Reisha of the category one of the Mishnah is coming to include this case. Meaning the Rav Dustai Chalal. So if it's not Bahajah, the Gemara says, okay, why doesn't the Mishnah actually write it? We shouldn't. The Gemara says, textually speaking, it's just not going to fit into the Mishnah. Why not? Because consider, what's the Mishnah going to write? Kohen is Levi of Israel, V'chalala Shenisa is the Kohen Levi of Israel. So are we just going to stick in Chalala over there? Now, Chalala is allowed to marry Yisrael. And a Chalala is allowed to marry a Levi. A Chalala is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So Chalala Kohen Michazia. So in other words, there's no way stylistically, the way the Mishnah was written, to include Chalala without arriving at the erroneous conclusion that a Chalala would be able to marry a Kohen. Okay. Veha'ika, the Gemara says, okay, but we're not done yet. Va'ika, the Rabba Barbachana Damar, Rabba Barbachana Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzvah Sheni, Shenasa, Mitzvah Rishona, B'nashlishi Hava. Now we get to the Egyptians. Okay, not modern Egyptians. In other words, we're going back to the classic. Okay, so in other words, when you are a Mitzri, so are you allowed to convert? Unequivocally, yes. Yes, right? One of the misconceptions is that by Ger, Amoni, and Mitzri, so these nationalities, so you're not allowed to convert. Not true. Not true, not correct, right? Misconception. Conversion perfectly allowed. Where the Torah puts limits is on who they can marry. So who can a ger mitzri marry? A ger mitzri can marry another ger mitzri, other people as well. But in other words, a ger mitzri is not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. However, that's generation one, G1, and that's generation two, G2. However, once you get to generation three, right? Talk about Alan's point earlier about keeping track. Once you get to G3 is allowed to marry a Jew. Okay, now how do we figure G1, G2, G3? Ah, that's tricky. So, according to Rabbi Barbachana, I have Mitzri Sheni. Dad is G2, Mitzri. And mom is G1. Okay. So now, it's a wonderful question. So I have G2 dad, G1 mom. What's the child going to be? So, but now Shlishi Hava. So according to Rabbi Barbachana, so the child is going to be Shlishi. Okay, now, that's already a lot of information. Now, and take that information and figure, which category does it belong in the Mishnah? Category 1 or category 2? Well, obviously, it's category 1. So Tanu kol makom dereisha lasuyei. So it's category one in the Mishnah, meaning there is, of course, tefisas kedushin, and it's a perfectly sanctioned marriage, and it's not there in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, yeah, I know it's not there in the Mishnah, but it's in the Mishnah. It's under the umbrella of kol makom. So ula Rav Dimi damar sheni havai. So now the Gemara says, what about the position of Rav Dimi? Now, according to Rav Dimi, what does Rav Dimi have our G2, G1 marriage? Right? Dad's a G2, mom's a G1. According to Rav Dimi, what is the child? Child's going to be G2, meaning following mom. Oh, wait one second. So it doesn't belong in category one. It should belong in, it's the opposite of category one. So the Gemara says, Eza zu lema'ute. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. So, but also you remember that in both category one and category two of the Mishnah, we have expansive language, kol makom, and we have exclusive restrictive language of Ezezu. So what you're going to have to do, we're going to summarize all this information in just a moment, is that for each of the categories, both one and two, so you have the kol makom expansion and you have the Ezezu restriction. Ve'ha'ika dechiyasa rabin amar Rabbi Yochanan be'umos halachacha zachar. So the Gemara says, what about the rule of Rabbi Yochanan that when it comes to other nationalities, so we're always going to follow dad? Stay tuned later today. I'm going to explain that a lot better. And when they convert, what am I going to do? I'm going to do whichever is going to be of the, more blemished. Again, stay tuned. I'm going to explain that better in just a moment. So Tana Ezezu Lamute. So the Gemara says, okay, so what I'll tell you is that falls under the category of Ezezu, meaning you're right. It is a Tfisas Kedushin. It's a perfectly sanctioned marriage, and we'll use the restrictive language of category one. Okay. Already now we're towards the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, and what just happened? In the Mishnah, we have category one, category two. Category one is where there's Tfisas Kedushin, it's a sanctioned marriage. Category two of the Mishnah is where there's Tfisas Kedushin, but it's not a sanctioned marriage. What's the rule? In category one, the rule is the child is going to be dead. In category two, what's the rule? The rule is HaPogam Shebahem. Whichever is the more Pogam member of mom or dad, that's what the child is going to be. Okay, good. So that's category one, category two of the Mishnah. What we also know is that both in category one and category two, we have expansive language, Kol Makom, and we have restrictive language, exclusionary language of Ezezu, for both category one and category two. We also know, talk about just a lot of information. We also know that there are numerous examples that were not cited in the Mishnah. Some of those examples are subject to a machlokas amarayim. Some of them one of them is subject to a machlokas tanayim. And now, where do they belong in category one and category two? In other words, the unspoken examples. So what we're now going to do together is that basically we're going to put everything in its right spot. Okay, let's do that right now. So So let's assume that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, remember, first topic of our Gemara today, immediately after the Mishnah, and that is a ger allowed to marry a mamzeres? Yes or no? Machlok is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. If our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that a ger is not allowed to marry a mamzeres. So now, let's plot our Mishnah. Okay, kol makom dereisha. So I have kol makom of category one. What do I do with that? La'asu Yisrael shenasa chalala. So what I'll do with that is Yisrael marrying a chalala. Yisrael marrying a chalala. Remember, what becomes Yisrael marrying a chalala? Tfisas Kedushin, 100%. Sanctioned marriage, 100%. So what's the child going to be? The child's going to be dad. So, and Rabba Bar Barachana. Now, Rabba Bar Barachana, what was that? Rabba Bar Barachana was G2, G1. And what's the child going to be, according to Rabba Bar Barachana? G3, meaning because he's going to follow dad. So those are what you're going to do now with category one, kol makom. Right? The expansion of category one, kol makom. Now what we're going to do is category one, exclusion, restriction. Ezezu lema'ute d'Rav Dimi. Now the Ezezu, what you're going to do is that you're going to insert Rav Dimi over there. Meaning Rav Dimi's position is that G2, G1, the child is going to be G2, not G3. Meaning following mom. Ah, but that doesn't fit the rules. Correct. That's the Ezezu of category one. And then, top of the next Amud, Kol Makom de Seifa Laisui Gershon Asa Mamzeres. Now, we are up to category number two. What is category number two? There is Tfisas Kedushin, but not a sanctioned marriage. Now, what's the rule? Child is going to be the Pogum. Now, we have the Kol Makom and we have the Ezezu. So the Kol Makom de Seifa Laisui Gershon Asa Mamzeres. Remember, we are now saying that our Mishnah is following Rabbi Yehuda. So we have an example to put category number two expansion, and that's the Ger Marrying a Mamzeres. So Ella Iyamart Rabbi Yossi, but if our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Yossi, now, even before we get to the next part of the Gemara, okay, I did that all really quickly, okay? Go back, listen again. I know I did that quickly. We have an expansion and a restriction of both category one, category two, and the Gemara says is that basically we're able to fill in every box. If you were listening carefully and following carefully, and I know it's a lot to ask right now, but if you're listening and following carefully, you'll notice we didn't fill in every box. In other words, we filled in the ribui and the miyut of a category one. We filled in the ribui of category two, but we really didn't fill in the miyut of category two. Okay, so truth of the matter is that it didn't escape the Gemara. The Gemara knows that information. In just a moment, the Gemara is going to point that out. I'm just saying that if you understood me right now, you're really following well. Now, Ella Iyamar Rabbi Yossi, but let's say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yossi. So now, here's going to be the problem. For Rabbi Yossi, we're going to be missing a lot of boxes. Why? Because consider, Kol Makom Dereisha Kedamaran. So the Kol Makom, a box of category one, well, that doesn't change. That, in other words, see above. And Ezezu Kedamaran. And box number two, the meat of category number one, that also doesn't change. Once again, see above. So Ella Kol Makom de Seifa Lasui Mai. But now we get to category number two. Now, according to Rav Yossi, what are we filling in for category number two? Nothing. Because according to Rav Yossi, Ger Mamzeres, that's a category one discussion. A Ger is allowed to marry a Mamzeres. Oh. So now, in other words, it has no Sheichus in category two whatsoever. So we have not a box to fill in, not for the ribui of Kol Makom of category two, neither for the exclusion of Zeh of category number two. So, litamech. So the Gemara says, so the problem now becomes the following, and that is that if our Mishnah is in fact following the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, so now we are simply not going to be able to fill in all the boxes of the Mishnah. So litamech, Rabbi Yehuda, Ezezu de Seifa Lamali, Ella, I did the Tana Reisha, Ezezu, Tana Seifa Ezezu, and Hachanami, I did the Tana Reisha, Komakom, Tana Nami Seifa Komakom. So the Gemara's answer is that you don't have to fill in every box. I know it's fun. Okay, people have strange definitions of fun. In other words, it's satisfying. That's a better word. It's satisfying if we understood that the Mishnah is giving us a Kol Makom and Ezezu. The Kol Makom is a ribui, the Ezezu is an exclusion, and there's something that belongs in the Kol Makom of category one and the Ezezu of category one. And the same thing would be true for both category two as well, the ribui and the miyut. It'd be satisfying if it worked that way. It doesn't work that way, and the Gemara acknowledges it doesn't work that way. The Gemara just simply says, look, the point that we've gone over again and again, I think we just said it yesterday, as recently as yesterday, and that is that the Mishnayos were designed symmetrically. The Mishnayos were meant to be memorized, and so therefore the Mishnayos have a sing-song rhythm to it. And therefore, even though we're not going to fill in all the boxes, but still, for the purposes of symmetry, the Mishnah is going to keep the structure of how category one sounds the same as how the structure of how category number two is going to sound. Even though, is there a box to fill in for category number two according to Rabbi Yossi? No. Neither for Kol Makom, neither for Ezezu. Okay. We're going to do just a little bit more for today. Gufa. Ki asa Ravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Umos. So be'umos halachar chazachar nizgaru halachar pegum shebishneim. My be'umos halachar chazachar. So we now have yichus rules of Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says, can you give me a simple explanation? Gemara says, sure. Lichad etanya minayin la'echa min ha'umos sheba'al kananis. So when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so what are we supposed to do with the kananim? So destruction, expulsion. In other words, we were instructed to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Right? First Rashi in last week's parsha. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he decides who gets what. So the uh, So by a Kanani, so they are to be expelled from Eretz Yisrael. So who is an Eved Kanani? In other words, a non-Jew who's not a Kanani, right? I know we've marveled earlier in earlier Dapim of the irony that the term that we use to describe a non-Jewish slave is an Eved Kanani, when meanwhile it is a non-Jewish slave, but it can't be an actual Eved Kanani. Okay, you know why the expression Eved Kanani? Because Noach, this week's parsha, Noach, Ham, Yafes, Canaan, right? And Canaan was cursed to become Avadim. So Kanani becomes a synonymous term with Avadim, but from a technical legal standpoint, a Kanani cannot become our Eved. Why? Because we are not supporting Kananim. We are instructed to expel them. And if they're not interested, so destruction. Meaning, right, the Kananim, we're told to eradicate the Kananim. So let's say you have now, this is not a Jewish discussion. This is obviously it's going to have Jewish ramifications. But you have now nationalities who are intermarrying. I have a woman who is a Kananis marrying, a Babylonian, right? So now, the child is what exactly? So that's exactly the point. So they're right, perfect. So the minan lechem enom shabala kananis v'holi ben shata rashay leknoso be'eved. So what you're allowed to do now is that you're allowed to buy him as an eved, meaning you can buy him now as an eved kanani. And again, just the irony of because he's not kanani, so therefore you can buy him as an eved kanani. I know if you're hearing this now for the first time, I know that could sound confusing. So Tamalomar Vigam Ibne Toshavim Agarim Machem Mehem Teknu. So the Bnei HaToshavim. So in other words, they are transient. They came from another country. And they married a local girl. But nevertheless, their child, you're allowed to keep. And you're allowed to purchase as an Eved Kanani. Yachlaf. Now the Negirsa over here needs a little bit of editing. So I'm going to work with all the hagals, all the editors of the Gemara who worked on the Girsa. Yachol af hakenani shebalachas mina umas v'oli ben sheata rashalik nosa be'eved tamalomer asher holidu ba'artzachem mina noldim ba'artzachem v'lo mina garim ba'artzachem. But if it's a Kanani who marries a foreigner, so their child, you're not allowed to purchase. Their child is going to have the status of a Kanani. So by umas ha'olam, you follow the zachar. We just explained exactly what that means. It's going to have basic ramifications in terms of whether or not their child is going to have the status of a Kanani or a non-Kanani. Now let's do the next one. The next Yichus rule of Rav Yochanan. And here's where we're going to finish today. And that is, Nizgayru halacha achar pagum shebishneim b'mai. So when there's a gerus and the two converts are marrying one another, so we follow the pagum shebishneim. So whatever is going to be the more problematic yichus is going to be what the child is. So, b'mai ilema b'mitzvah shenasa amonis. So my pagamika. So amoni v'lo amonis. So ela ba'amoni shenasa mitzvah. So over here, the best example of this is going to be where? Dad is an amoni convert. Mom is a mitzvah convert. So now, how is this going to play out? Very simple. So let's say they have a male. So they have a boy. So what's the boy going to be? Status-wise, Ammoni convert. Why is that going to be working against him? Because we know that the Ammoni ban of marrying into the Jewish people, that goes in perpetuity. And the im nekeva havyashade abasri dida. Now, what if it's a female? Because we know the halacha is amoni v'lo amonis. Only applies to the males, not to the females. So in other words, if it was amoni converts marrying, and they had a girl, so the girl would be allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But it's amon mitzris. So now amon mitzris, and they have a girl. So what's the girl going to be? Girl's going to be mom. What's mom? Well, it depends. If mom is G1, so the girl's going to be G2. If mom is G2, the girl's going to be G3, which actually would be, that'd be fine. In other words, we are allowed to marry G3 mitzvahs. So in other words, but the point is that if mom is G1, she'll be G2. Okay. I also know that part's a little bit confusing, but if you think about it, you'll understand. In other words, when I have Geirin getting married, the child is going to take on whichever is going to be the more problematic yichus. Okay, and we just spelled out exactly what that looks like. Good. Okay, we covered in the course of today's daf. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up at the two dots. We covered in the course of today's daf. First of all, we finished off yesterday's daf regarding a kohen who is a ben grusha ben chalala ben chalala. Okay, I just mixed and matched my daffin today. We talked about a kohen who is a ben grusha or a ben chalutza, and he did the avoda. The avoda okay, acceptable, but the avid yes. How do I know that? Psukim. And then we said a kohen ba'al mum who did the avoda, b'di'eved. Is the avoda good? The answer is no. The avoda is not good. All the avoda has to be redone again. How do I know that? Psukim as well. That is the conclusion of yesterday's daf. And then today's daf. So today's daf, we embarked on the topic of yichus. As you saw, difficult topic. The rules are very clear. However, at the same time, there are also rule breakers. Okay, and structurally, what did we see today in our Mishnah? There really are four different categories in the Mishnah, but the Gemara focused on today, categories 1 and 2. In category 1, when I have a marriage where the marriage takes effect, Tfisas Kedushin, and it's a perfectly sanctioned marriage, the child is going to be dead. Good. You get that, you get like most of today's daf, right? That is category 1, that's the rule of category 1. Then in category number 2, there's Tfisas Kedushin, but it's not a sanctioned marriage. So what's the child going to be? The child is going to be the Pagam. Okay, that's category number 2. The challenge of today's daf, the complexity of today's daf, is that the Mishnah does give a number of examples, but there are a number of examples that aren't in the Mishnah, and where do they belong in the Mishnah? And the reason why it became a discussion today, it became really most of today's daf, is because both in category 1 and in 2 of the Mishnah, the Mishnah opens up with the words kol makom, and then the Mishnah says eizazu, kol makom, expansion, eizazu, restriction, limitation. And so therefore, we got boxes to fill in, right? Kol makom of category 1 means that there are examples not written in the Mishnah that conform to category number 1. On the other hand, there are also going to be rule breakers. That's the eizazu. Eizazu tells me that it can be tfisas kedushin, it can be a sanctioned marriage, but the child is not going to be following the father. That's the Eizazu. So what's going to fit into category 1? Expansion. What's going to fit into category 1? Exclusion. And then we could do the same thing for category number 2 as well. What came out from the Gemara today is that it really depends which side you're on particular machloksim. Meaning that the unspoken examples of the Mishnah are not all clear cut. Some of them are, but some of them are not. Simple example. A ger marrying a mamzeris. There is Tfisas Kedushin, that's clear. Is that a sanctioned marriage? Machlok is tonight. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, right? So now, where does that example now fit in the Mishnah? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it fits into category number 2. According to Rabbi Yossi, it fits into category number 1. Which box does it fill in? Right? Again, so that was the heavy lifting of today's daf. The unspoken examples of the Mishnah. Where do we stand on these unspoken examples in terms of halacha, and where do they then fit in the Mishnah? And then finally, the last thing that we did today is Rav Yochanan's rules of yichus. Rav Yochanan's got two rules of yichus, one in terms of nationalities outside the Jewish people, where they intermarry, what's the child going to be? A zachar. That one's easy. The second rule of Rav Yochanan is post-conversion, where now they get together, what's the child going to be? Whatever the more pugum is. The example of that is going to be where I have an Ammoni, a male Ammoni convert, marrying a mitzris, a female mitzris convert. So now, this is where Rav Yochanan's rule is going to play out. If it's a son, following dad. If it's a girl, following mom.